We're on in Sanhedrin Cafe, Amud Aleph, 25A. We're about 10 lines up from the bottom of the Daf, and we're talking about the meaning of racing pigeons. What does it mean to race pigeons? So two opinions. One opinion is racing them, see who comes home first, gambling on who is the faster pigeon. Second opinion is, no, person who is mafriche yonim, it means that they cause their birds to flap around and by doing so encourage other birds to come and fly into the nest.
So you haven't covered cock fighting yet?
No, we haven't covered that.
Because that's later on.
That's later on. So they're the two opinions. Gemara wants to know, Mandama I Tikadame Yonach the Yon, the one who said that it means racing them, whose pigeon comes home first. My Tama Lo Ama Ara. What's the reason why he didn't say Ara, decoy? Why didn't he hold like the other way? Amala, so he would tell you, Ara Mifne Darake Shalom Ba'ama. The reason why you don't allow people to cheat, decoy pigeons, to steal them in that way, it's not because of theft. It's only because of Darake Shalom. There's no theft involved in the practice of luring pigeons into your coat, into your hutch, your pigeon box, right? Darkei shalom ba'alma. What do you mean darkei shalom? Darkei shalom means that you avoid fights. You avoid the other pigeon owners from arguing with you that you're stealing their pigeons. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. It doesn't, we don't want any fights to break out, so we don't allow it because of darkei shalom. But not because it's really stealing. So according to that view, even if you did it, you wouldn't be disqualified from being a judge or a witness because there's no theft involved.
It wasn't outright theft, but elsewhere to get to take him right out of your cages.
No.
No. That would be theft.
If I go and take
your birdhouse and take birds. This way he's avoiding it by tracking it to his.
Yeah, he's just, right. So he's avoiding theft, but we don't allow it because of Darkei Shalom. Because if we allowed him to do this, then other bird owners would get very upset that he's stealing birds from everyone. We can't prove it, and we've got no grounds to sue him even if we can prove it, because it's not theft. But we'd be very upset. And you call it, so on the grounds of Darkei Shalom, so that's why we prohibit it. But it's not enough for a person to be disqualified as a judge, according to that opinion.
But if it's theft?
If it's theft, then it would be. But here we have the one who says that pigeon racing is really pigeon racing, gambling on who comes first. He holds that the luring them into the box is not theft, and that's why he doesn't go the other way. And the one who says Ara, 25A2, bottom of the page. Right, the one who says Ara, pigeon decoy. My tamadlar amar itik bemei yona leon. What's the reason that he says he doesn't go like the first view? First view says that it really means pigeon racing. Why doesn't he know also that it means pigeon racing? Amala, he could tell you, Hainu masachek bekubia. It's the same as masachek bekubia. It's the same as the first opinion, the first mention of the list in the Mishnah. Says masachek kubia. And if Mafriche Yonim meant simply racing pigeons, says the second guy. It wouldn't be in the mission. We wouldn't need it, because we've already got Masakei Akubia. Therefore, according to the one who says Ara means a decoy, he holds that it can't be racing pigeons.
It's two different types of gambling. One is saying it's because of my skill.
But
the other one is saying it's because of the pigeon skill.
Yopi. So that's the answer. That's the other one's answer. Because the first one now has to answer the problem. How can you have two of the same cases in the mission? So he's now going to come up with a difference between the two, which is what he's just given us. Right? But that's the problem he's now faced with, because how does he get out of the fact of it now appears like there's two of the same things listed in the mission? The first one, Masachet Mekubia, and the second one is racing pigeons. They're both gambling. Why do I need both? So he now answers the Idah and the other one, meaning the first one. What would he say? How does he explain the fact that he's now got two similar cases? Tana tole b'dat atmo, v'tana tole b'dat yono. He says that the Tana, the Mishnah, taught, first of all, the law of one who is b'dat atmo, relies on his own dat, his own skill, his own ability, his own knowledge. So Tana, and then he taught, the Mishnah also taught, Tana b'dat yono, someone who relies on the dat of the pigeon. What does it mean? There's a difference, says the first opinion. First opinion, who holds that both of them are cases of gambling. He says, you're right, they are both cases of gambling, but they're different. First one is a gambling based on my own skill and judgment, cards or dice. And the other one is based on something outside my control, the bird. I don't know if the bird's gonna see some tasty berries on a bush and go and fly off and have lunch before he comes back. Or who knows what he's gonna do, right? So, utsricha. So why do I need both of them? So the Gemara explains, utsricha, they're both necessary. Both cases, I need to be told why. De'itana tole b'dat atzmo. If you'd only told me the case of dat atzmo, which is the first case, the case where he's playing dice based on his own opinion and own skill. Hatam, over there, hu d'lo gemar u'makne. I might have said there in the game of dice that it's not, he doesn't make an acquisition. He doesn't make a kinyan. He's not completely decided, right?
So to give like the money. The shmata.
So it'd be a nasmata. Right? Why would he say that? Dama. Kimle benafshe the yadana tape. Why doesn't he? So in the case of dice, he's not conclusively decided, intending to give over the money. Why not? Because he thinks it's in his skill. Kimle danafshe di yadana tape. I think in my heart that I know better how to play. I wouldn't be playing the cards or the dice if he didn't think he was going to win. Right? He's only playing because he thinks he's going to win, based on his own skill. Therefore, he doesn't have intention to give the money. Therefore, it's only an asmachta, and therefore it amounts to theft when the person takes it, which is why he's disqualified. So if you'd only told me that case, I might have said, I wouldn't have learnt out the second case. I might have said that case is different, because clearly in that case, it's based on his own skill, and therefore that's the reason why it's only an asmachta, and it would lead to theft in the hands of the person who takes the money. About Tolerbadat Yonov, but a person who relies on the skill of his pinion, a pigeon, Eimalo, I would say no, it's not an Ashmachta. Why? Because there, when we went into pigeon racing, what would I have said? I'd have said that the pigeon, completely out of my control, I've no idea whether I'm going to win or lose. It's pure 50-50. Who knows what's going to happen between my pigeon and his pigeon. And therefore, I actually do have a da'at to give over the money. I don't think that I'm going to win. I don't think that that money is coming back to me necessarily. There's a good chance it's not coming back to me. Maybe I'll win the next one. But this one, who knows? So I could have reasoned that that's not an asmata. And therefore, a person who races pigeons, he is allowed to be a judge. Because he doesn't deal in stolen money. Yeah? You follow the logic on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But there's a counter-argument.
Okay. So the Gemara now goes the other way around. But if you'd only told me the pigeon racer, the itana toleh b'dayana. But if you only told me the law of the pigeon racer, right, that is an asbachta, and that will result in the player of pigeon racing being disqualified. If you'd only taught me that law in the Mishnah, the Amar Benaksha Talia Milta, I would have said that it depends on the Naksha, the banging.
Banging on crackers, they're like groggers.
Apparently, they're like clackers, right? But Anayadana le Nakoshe Tape, and I know how to bang them more skillfully. I know how to bang them better. Right? So it is still, it's not really, it's still Da'at Atzmo. Even though it's pigeon racing, you would have understood that it's not really purely pigeon racing. There is his own skill, and that's what he's relying on. About Tolev Da'at Atzmo, but when you have the case of Da'at Atzmo, which is the case of dice, Eimar Lo, I would have said no. I'm now reversing it and saying no, a dice by itself has no skill in it. At least in pigeon racing, you could have argued, at least in pigeon racing, you can bang the clackers, and I know how to bang them just good enough so that my bird listens to them. I've trained him well enough, or I know how to bang them well enough, that he'll come back quicker. But in dice, well, who knows what on the roll of the dice, right? It's not really skill, even though I'm the one who's rolling them. I might have thought that over there, there's not enough of my direct skill involved to allow me to consider that I'm in charge of who's going to win. That I haven't given my commitment to this wager. Okay?
So on both sides there's asmachta.
So both sides have an asmachta, and both sides need to be given in the Mishnah, and they're not superfluous. I need both cases to be written out. And they're not superfluous to write both cases, because each one is needed, because one by itself, I might not have known the other. I might have said that one's a specific reason because of X, and that one's a specific reason because of X. And therefore, I couldn't have learned one from the other. But if I could, then one of them's superfluous, I don't need two. If I can learn one from the other, pigeon racing is just like dice throwing. And then you're not going to give me two cases of admission. Okay, so that allows the opinion of the first opinion, who says, Mafrikhe Yona means racing pigeons. That gives him a reason to say what he said. Right, that the Mishnah does allow for his opinion. He can't say that. You're right, you have got grounds to say that Mafri Cheyonin might also mean racing pigeons. It doesn't have to mean decoying pigeons, like the second opinion it could mean. you came to show us that that it's valid. You can argue that it can mean that, and both of them are required in the Mishnah, and they both have the reason to be there. Okay. Meitvei. They challenged who? Turns out that we're challenging here the second opinion now of Rav Chama bar Oshaya, who said pigeon said mafriche yonim means the decoy. So now we're challenging him. Meitvei. Hamasek masachek makubia. Right, we had a writer which said like this. Hamasek makubia, person who plays with dice. Eluhem hamasachim be pis pasim. Those are the ones who play with pis pasim. Apparently means wooden cubes. Pis pas. To lose. Pispasim. Rashi says, what's Pispasim? Shivrei Eitzim. Literally means pieces of wood, splinters of wood. Behem Marlish. Marlish Balaz. Marlish?
Today, Pasipas.
Yes?
It's a mosaic.
Oh, Pasipas. Little pieces, I'm sorry, means little pieces. These little pieces. Could it mean that maybe it means like the fast fesses to like the weight to waste to lose? So maybe just like the shards that are left over. But Tov, I don't know how you make them into dice. Maybe it wasn't the dice that we classically think. Like we classically think of we're talking dice, but maybe they just did something else. They took pieces of wood and just threw them all, and they did something else. It's not necessarily a cube with dots on it. I once heard a shiur, I read a shiur, I think online somewhere, about dice and how actually there's a deep spiritual, like dice, the numbers on the front and the back, and they always add up, well, the fact they always add up to seven, but the fact they always add up to seven, like seven is, seven is wing, seven is spirit, seven, whatever, like, not coincidence, they all add up to seven, and it was a whole big shiur on it. But anyway, look it up on Google. This is the brighter. So the brighter says, the one who plays with dice, we're talking about bits of wood. And they said this about dice players, right, that they're disqualified from being judges or witnesses. Not only about people who play with bits of wood. The shells of nuts, and shells of pomegranates, by the pomegranate peels. So obviously, they did other stuff.
So maybe that wasn't invented in the streets of New York.
What moment?
You've been there with the.
That's a three-card mind.
Find the Right, so even people who play with, right, what's he saying here? Why do we care what you're playing with?
Because you're improvising.
Huh?
You're improvising.
Okay, so why does it matter? Like, why would you think, why does a writer need to come and tell me? When I said playing with dice, I didn't mean only dice, I meant also like other things too. Right, why would I have thought there should be any difference between a nice cube and some shells?
Because you're so addicted to gambling, you'll gamble with anything.
Yeah, but why do you need to tell me? Why wouldn't I have known that? Without that brighter to tell me. Someone comes along and says, Moshe over there is gambling with walnut shells. Are we allowed to disqualify him from being a judge? And I look at my mission, I see someone who plays with dice is disqualified from being a judge. Do you think that I'm going to make a mistake and say, you know what, they don't look like dice to me, you're okay? Why do you need to tell me that? Isn't that obvious? Okay.
I had that question too. They were saying it's dice, the other one saying it's a decoy.
One saying it's racing them.
Racing.
Yeah.
Racing, he's saying it's dice. It's a thing we have got.
Right, but why do I need a writer to say it's all kinds? Is because basically the premise is, without the writer telling me, I wouldn't have known.
That's the whole point. Right. Most people would not know about gambling.
No, not gambling itself. Gambling, you've already taught me. You taught me, Masake Kubia. That's a Mishnah. Everybody knows the Mishnah. The Mishnah is clear. No one's arguing that we don't know the Mishnah. But now you've got a Mishnah that says, Masake Kubia is disqualified. Why do you then give me a writer that says, and by the way, also those who gamble with shells and walnut peels? Right? Isn't that obvious?
Because if you want someone to do tshuva, they have to break all that stuff and throw it away. They can't have it. It's the only way. It's just like
I hear, but why do you need to tell me about nuts?
Because the other example they gave, why did they bring in the example of the disqualified butcher in the beginning?
Yeah.
Unless it was combined with this as a counterpoint.
No, because the disqualified butcher was a completely different case. He sold treif meat, and I wouldn't have learned treif meat, someone who sells treif meat, because it's a completely different case. Here, I've got a wooden dice, or I've got some shells. So clear,
Rashi says that the other things aren't really made for
gambling. Fair. Very good. Right.
That's why I was saying he was improvising.
Well, so what does he mean? So what?
Namely, he'll use anything to gamble.
So what?
The only way he's totally addicted to gambling. The only
way. I'm talking about the deviant. Someone who's totally addicted to gambling is obviously he's disqualified.
So how does he do tshuva then?
Not talking about him. The Gemara is not talking about the person who's totally addicted to gambling now. We know the person who gambles with dice is disqualified. It's clear, right? There's no doubt about it. You're coming now to add. What are you adding? Even someone who plays with walnut seeds, right, with shells. That's an additional. You're increasing the scope of the disqualification. So even someone at Y, so what's the difference? Like Rashi says, the difference is over here, you're not talking about a seasoned gambler who has his own dice. You're talking about even someone who's gambling with the bits of food left on his plate. Right? I'm not a gambler, I've got any dice. But you know what? Let's divide these lemon peels and...
That goes back to the question about whether...
Yeah. Yeah. No, but then he's made them. And he's made, it's like something that's made for gambling is obvious. No, but once you start cutting them up, you've now made a kli for gambling. Right? So this is now your gambler, it's now your wooden cubes. He what?
With the shells of the walnut, he could choose some other way that was suitable for what he wanted to do.
Yeah, he hasn't got any specific tools of the trade. Like someone who has tools of the trade, he's a gambler, right? He's got his dice, he's got his cards, he's got his whatever. Right, let's play, right? But someone who doesn't have that, who's like not considered to be a seasoned gambler, doesn't have his own tools of the trade. But he gambles, if you want. Tom, let's take some water.
Doesn't that go back to the original assumption?
It weakens the... It makes it even more inclusive to this category of people that were disqualified. We're not only talking about people who actually do it for a living and they've got 16 type of dice and they've got their blue ones, their red ones, their green ones, they've got Monday dice, Tuesday dice. These are my favourites. These are the ones I use, right?
No, but we covered the difference between someone who gambles full time is excluded, but there's another opinion that says that if they have a profession, they're included. Okay. So if you include this, then they're excluded as a judge and a witness.
Well, I don't know. You could try and bring it as evidence, but it doesn't directly contradict. One is whether or not they've got another job. Here, you're right, we're talking about he doesn't have his own tools, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't have another job. He does, he doesn't. They're not clear indicators. They're maybe part of the...
I mean, why are they bringing this in unless it's to do something with it?
Exactly. So that's what Rashi came to answer. Because otherwise, you didn't tell me anything new. Who cares what he's playing dice? If he's playing dice, he's playing dice. He's playing a gambling game. Who cares if he's playing it with something that's wooden and round, or he's playing it with something that's plastic and square, right? What is the difference?
Why is this funny? I mean, the kids used to pitch cards. Cards were made, say, to collect all the baseball or the basketball players or the Beatles or whatever on the cards. But we used to gamble. We used to pitch.
The kids do. Have you seen the kids with they do this on the floor? They bash them, and the ones that flip over. All right, so they're exactly this.
They weren't originally made for that.
So those kids will be disqualified from being judges on a bake tin, which, you know, in this day and age. Top. Okay, let's move forward. All right, so we're still in this brighter.
So did we cover Rashi from the last page?
Yeah, right. The end of the Rashi. So this brighter is telling us not only dice, but also nutshells and pomegranate peels. The ematai chazotan, and when do they return? Meaning, when are they considered to have done tshuva? When, at what point in their life, can I now accept them back as a witness or as a judge? Mi she yishpiru et fitzfehem v'yachzuru behen hazara gemora. When they break up their wooden cubes and they return in a complete repentance. It's not clear what that other bit adds on. And Rashi doesn't comment on it. Right, breaking up their wooden cubes, fine, and they return in a complete repentance. Well, I don't know what that means, or how you would ever know that they returned in a complete repentance.
Now, how does this compare with the butcher?
How do you know they returned in a complete? They stopped. So why did it say? So say stop playing.
Gambling
is
something you have to do
with other people. No. So, but why didn't you just say? When they break up their cubes and stop playing, why does say here the brighter fact says Yachru Bahem Hazra Gemora and they need and the
make a victorious.
So say it. So say what it means. I have no idea from this what it means. They have to return in a complete repentance. What does that mean? Who knows if they return? I mean, I'm asking personally, but does one know if one has ever returned in a complete repentance? I don't know. I tried to make tshuva. If I don't know myself, how is someone else going to judge me to tell me whether or not I can be a witness anymore? Did you return in a complete repentance? I don't know. I think so. Not sure. I don't know, it just seems to be a very, like, we've got the practical answer, they broke the cube. That's clear. Or the other one, the butcher, that went to the other city, and then he returned the lost object, or he gave away tray from his own hand. Okay, so that, I can feel here.
Compare the two. I mean, how is butcher different than this one? What did they give up?
Well, apparently, butcher doesn't need to make a complete repentance either. It doesn't say over there with the butcher that he needs to chazara v'chazara gemura. I know. I just pointed it out. I know what the answer is. There's no comment over here in the footnotes. Okay. So that could be a comment on it next week. That afilu b'chinam lo avde. Even for free, they don't play. They don't play cards. For fun, right? There's no playing poker with the guys without any money. Now what it means?
So they had to completely give it up.
Right. Da'afilim. Yafeh. Okay. Yafeh. Okay. Very good. So we now have a. Also, it says over here in my footnote that according to the opinion that says that gambling amounts to theft, they also have to return all the money to the people they took, all the winnings. You have to return it in order to effect a complete repentance. Oh, that's the Ran. We said last matter, but it's not fet. Ka'ein gezela. So I don't know why he says that you have to return it. Maybe I'm.
Because on one level it is considered theft?
Yeah, maybe, but that, it's not really theft. Don't know. Okay. Good question. Top. Next, Malve Beribit. How does he, this is the same writer talking about how each of these individuals does Shuba. Malve Beribit, how does he, one who lends on interest, so the writer first says, Echad ha-malve v'chad ha-love. So this writer follows the view that we're talking about both, like Rava said, right? Both the lender and the borrower we're talking about. They're included in this disqualification. Ve'ematai chazotan, when do they are considered to have made shuva? Misha yikra'uet shtarihem, when they tear up their loan document. And they affect a complete repentance. What does that mean? We haven't got the duh, but top. Afilu, maybe there was a duh in there that got lost. Afilu lenochri lo muzafe. Even to goyim, they don't lend money on interest. Because they're allowed to. Right? Just like you're allowed to play cards without money, and you stop doing even that. So even here, something that you're allowed to do, you don't do. So that's, it's a known thing that when a person wants to make teshuva on a certain area that they messed up on, they take on themselves a more strict thing that they didn't even really have to do, like going above and beyond the letter of the law. Like for a person, for example, was Mechalel Shabbos, he brought in Shabbos late, so they take it upon themselves to bring in Shabbos early every week. You don't have to, but it's like in the area that you messed up, you prove your teshuva by going above and beyond in that area. Like a person who was a thief gives more stuff to show that they've conquered that yetzer, the yetzer in that area that maybe not keep Shabbos. So I'm now giving it even more Shabbos than I need to keep. Right. Cool. Yofi, but. Rabbi Nachman says, don't take on stringencies. Right? It's hard enough to take on what we need to take on, right? Without taking on stringencies. The person should. Says, if you're going to take on any stringency, just take on one. Pick one stringency in the whole, right? And take on one. If you've got like a real yearning to do more than the letter of the law to show how much you love Hashem, if you want to go above and beyond, find one thing. And do one thing very, really nicely. Then don't worry about it. Everything else, don't worry about it. Like, just do that. Yeah, just one. Just do it. 12. Okay. Right, Raisa continues with pigeon flyers. Mafrich Hayonim, the pigeon flyers. Elu Shemamrim et Hayonim. Right, so this writer now has a different opinion, opinion number 3, about who are these pigeon Mafrichim. What are they? So here is a different opinion completely. Shemamrim et Hayonim. They incite the pigeon. What does that mean? They cause them to fight. Cockfighting, they call it in the old country.
I hope they don't have it here.
They do it, they fight all different stuff. Animals, dogs, dog fights.
Cockfighting is.
So you live in our neighborhood, cat fights are very common. No. No one's sitting there betting money on the black one. Or, maybe, I don't know. Top anyway.
Does Rashi say anything?
Shemamarim et hayonim. They incite the pigeons. Margizim otam. They annoy them. Zera zera. They lehilachem, so that they fight. They annoy them until they start fighting. Don't know, I've never tried it at home. Tog, I don't know if it works with a budgie, tookie. Tog. Okay, so that's what it means. Right, now, v'loyonim bilvad, and we're not only talking about pigeons. Right, there's nothing special about pigeons, that we're only talking about pigeon fighting. Ela afilu behema chaya ba'of. Any animal, domesticated animal, is a behema. A chaya is a wild animal, and an off or bird. Right? If you manage to get two ants in the street to fight with each other, right, it doesn't matter who's fighting. All of them are. Not only what? Not just foul play.
Not
just foul play. Okay, so how does such a person make shuva? Ematai chazatam, when are they considered to have returned? Mishi yibru et pigmehem, when they break their pigmehem, says clackers here, used to incite pigeons. Clackers, the stuff that used to annoy their pigeons. The pigeon prodders, right? V'yachazru b'hem chazara gemora, and they make complete repentance. How do they do that? Da'afilu. Here we've got a da. I think the dalad got missed in the middle one. Da'afilu, that even b'midbar nami lo avdei. Even in the wilderness, they don't do it. What does it mean? Even in the wilderness. So we've got a footnote, but let's just see Rashi. It's quite a big one. In the wilderness, you don't find pigeons that are settled there, right? That live there. You might find them flying through there, but they don't live there. Bahai Perusha Lelishna Da'afra Akitle. We're going on the second version. Velob Muguma the Brighter. Not in the Mugufa the Brighter, not in the text of the writer itself. Lelishna di tikdana yona leon, not according to the one who says, the one who comes first, the parishif, as the like a mora. The ha filu bitsinam. The chinam, nami lo abduka de farashit gabe kubia. Either the ha filu bitsinam, you get to free the birds. Nami la abdu. We also would have said, like we said with the kubia. See the footnotes. So apparently we've now moved off the, we're not going with the fighting in this afilu. This afilu goes according to the pigeon decoy.
What is afilu?
Afilu means even. So how do they make complete repentance? So now we're going back into, it's not clear why the writer says inciting them. You could learn this differently, that the writer is not talking about people who fight. The writer says he is, but he's talking about inciting them to fly, or inciting them to lure other people to the pigeon. Right? That the incitement here is just explaining the two versions of the writer. You could go either way. The writer just says. So says inciting, what's inciting me? Inciting me either means, like the first version, inciting your pigeon to win, to come home first. Or inciting means like the second version, which says you're inciting them to lure other pigeons to your nest. And then this afilu b'midbar nami goes on, Rashi says, goes on the decoy. Right? Because even in the in the wilderness he doesn't do it because there's no birds to steal. You might get wild birds, but they don't belong to anyone, and that's fine. So even there he doesn't do it. But according to the one who says that it means like racing pigeons, then Rashi says it would be the same answer as the dice player, meaning you don't even do it for free. You don't even race your pigeon with your friend just for the fun of it to see who's going to come first without waging money. That would be how you would know you made a complete dependence.
So we're not talking about cockfighting.
So no. So that's why. So it's not clear why the writer appears to talk about cockfighting and then appears to drop it in the complete repentance stage of the writer.
Right. That's one question about that, because cockfighting, you're basically betting one cock against the other cock and see who will kill the other cock.
Nachon.
And it's simply just dangling out there.
Right. You're right. So why are we bringing the other animals? So then you have to say, it is like the first opinion. He does mean cockfighting, and that's why he brought the other animals. Then how does he get to Afilu? Why doesn't the complete teshuva go on that?
Right.
Why does it? Because it shouldn't matter where you're fighting them. You're fighting them in town or you're fighting them in the wilderness. Doesn't it seem to make any difference? Or you have to say that the animals, even the other animals, is also a case of luring. Like racing them or luring them. You can say that other animals are raced, for sure, right? Horses and other animals are raced, right? So even there. And what about luring them? So we're going to see that the Gemara in the next sugya, the next bit, comes back to this writer and says, well, how can it be that you're luring domestic animals? Right, so it gives an example of a domestic animal over there. So it's an ox. You can lure a wild ox in the same way. Tov.
So if it's wild, you wouldn't be basically stealing it from someone. You'd be.
Correct. So why you would? So then the question is, why would you be disqualified?
Right. Exactly.
That's a good question. If it's wild, who says it's wild? Wild animals.
Right.
So domesticated animals, you could understand why you would be forbidden from doing that.
Because someone else
is. But why would you be forbidden from decoying a... Let's have a look. Good question.
Does Rashi say anything?
Well, apparently, Rashi says that when it mentions domesticated wild animals or other fowl, the reason why the Braita brought them in is because they're not commonly used as racing or fighting animals. And therefore, the Braita needed to bring them in because you wouldn't have known them otherwise. You wouldn't have known that even a person who fights something that you're unlikely to see fighting, even him is disqualified. Right, just like the shells and the nuts, right? That even unusually non-dedicated items or animals that are used in the same fashion would disqualify you. So that's what Rashi says, that's the reason why it's brought in the brighter, but it still doesn't answer the question how it fits in then with the view of the stealing, if we say we go with decoy.
Well, then
so it must be that that's not going on the decoy. You could say one answer is that that's not going on the decoy. When it lists those three animals, it's that they're only talking about fighting. According to the one who says fighting, he would say even those. But according to the one who says decoy, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say even wild animals.
But
you can't decoy
if
wild animals.
If you're talking about an smart guy,
like racing,
even the one who says racing would agree. So he would also agree that you're not allowed to race wild animals, or right? So it doesn't matter if they're wild.
Well, wouldn't the betting on the cockfighting be in a smakta, just like the pigeon racing is in a smakta?
Yeah. Yes, that's the point. The point here is that in a person, well, according to the, depending according to the two views, by the views that said it's your, even when it, yeah, even when it's not in your control, right? I don't know if my cock's going to peck his eyes out or he's one going to do whatever he's going to do. Even in that case where I don't have any ability and I'm not clear, then I'm going to win. Even there, so it's still an asmata because I don't agree to allow my money to be taken by the
but
guy.
But on the other hand, you could be training the cocks to bite.
So you could think that you've got superior
you
training
the,
abilities.
Then you would hit them as asmata because you're saying it's my skill of training.
Nahon, you're fair. For sure, when you go into the fight, you think your one's going to win. You don't bring your puny little one against his giant. And right, you wouldn't bother. You're only gonna go into the thing if you think you're gonna win.
So it's both areas. Assuming it's an asmakta, then they'd be disqualified as judges and witnesses.
Yes.